2026 Decoding Aggression and Reactivity Summit, created by my friend Ness Jones, launches April the 19th and 20th. She's brought together more than 10 professionals from around the world, myself included, to help you understand what's really going on underneath aggression and reactivity, and how to support your dog in a way that actually creates change. You'll get access to over 12 hours of education, real-world application, and conversations that go far beyond surface-level training advice. Plus, you receive a workbook and a gift from each of the speakers. For $47, you can't find that anywhere. Check the link in the show notes or go to dogspeak101.com to our event page to find our special link. Hey, Dog Speak Geeks. Hope you're having a wonderful week. Hope you're enjoying the weather wherever you are. We are getting some rain this week, which is much needed, but I can tell you the dog is not happy. She wants to get out and play and enjoy the cooler weather, but with the wet, well, I'm so sweet, I just melt in it. So I hope you're finding ways to meet your dog's enrichment needs and genetic needs. And look, if you've not signed up for the newsletter, what are you doing with your day? This week, we are talking about herding breeds, talking about luring your dog into positions to keep them safe, and we have our blog out on communication, which is what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about understanding communication and learning how to read your dog's body language in order to have a better relationship. If you struggle connecting with your dog, if you struggle understanding how your dog is feeling or when they're stressed, this is the episode for you. And I've got a special discount code for you guys this week. I am only giving out 100 of these coupons. And actually, they've already been used because of the newsletter. So we don't have many left. I'm giving you 85% off our online, on-demand dog communication course. It's packed full of videos of how dogs communicate using their body, and you are going to want to grab that. You're literally going to get it for less than $15. It's 85% off. You can use coupon code DOGSPOOK to get that 85% off, but it is a limited number of coupons available, so go get it today so you do not miss out. I don't know when I will be putting it this cheap again, so be sure you grab that today. So I want to talk about body language because it is so important, and you've heard me talk about it over and over again about how important it is, but I really want to break it down today and even talk about a couple of the specific body movements and the way that dogs communicate certain emotions. They're always communicating. We just have to learn to listen, right? Dogs don't just communicate with loud barks or growls. They don't just communicate by looking you into the eyes, right? They really do use their body to communicate to you. And if you're not reading that appropriately, you're going to have a hard time meeting your dog's needs and understanding what it is that they're truly feeling in the moment. I know how easy it is to see when your dog is happy, right? That is an easy thing to see. I don't need to teach you what that looks like. But what you do need to learn is, what does it look like when your dog is feeling stressed? What does it look like when your dog is wanting space, wanting to rest instead of being played with, wanting to be alone instead of you petting on them because you need to decrease your anxiety, right? We need to really understand that our dogs are communicating to us all the time. And they use it to prevent conflict, to communicate something that they need that maybe only you can give them. They communicate using body language with other dogs and other animals. It's just the way that they communicate. So we've got to learn how to read that. Not only do we need to learn how to read it, but there are certain things that you can use to communicate back. Now, if you're in rescue, if you work with dogs in a veterinary setting or a shelter setting, or maybe you're a professional on here that nobody's really told you how important the dog communication is. Maybe you're a newbie and you've learned how to teach sit and stay and down, but nobody's really said, hey, you've really got to understand dog communication because that is everything. That truly is everything. I have worked with aggressive dogs, fearful dogs, and I will tell you, if I was unable to read their body language, I would probably have gotten myself into trouble more often than not. Knowing how to read that body language has allowed me to keep myself safe, build trust with these dogs who really didn't trust anyone, and it has helped prevent dog bites. I've had moments to where muzzles have come off, a dog has gotten away from the owner, leash has broken, and they have come after me. And because I understood dog language, I was able to actually use communication skills and signals to prevent the dogs from biting me. Now, it hasn't worked in all of them because some dogs, they just don't take the time to read it. But I will tell you that I increased my chances by 90% by using dog communication skills and using my body to communicate to them in a non-threatening, non-confrontational way. You see across the board a lot of times, I see people online that are using their body to walk into a dog, to put pressure on the dog, to show, in their words, dominance. And what they're really showing by using their body and forcing themselves into the space of a dog is they're really just showing confrontational behavior and bully behavior. And oftentimes disrespecting what the dog is trying to communicate. So I really want to give you some things to look at today. I'm not going to talk about every signal that's out there. There's so many signals in level one, and there are a few in level two and three, but level one holds a lot of signals, and I'm going to get into what that looks like and what I mean by that. But I'm not going to talk about all of them. It's a three-hour seminar by itself when I do it live. So it would be a really long episode. But you can take the online course and learn all about the different signals and see it in action. So what I want to start with today is basically helping you to understand everything a dog does is on purpose. Dogs are not going to waste energy doing anything that is not for a purpose. So when they bark, there's a purpose. When they wag their tail, there's a purpose, and it's not always what you think. When they flick their ear, when they give that low grumble, when they ignore you, there's always a purpose. And ignoring is one of those very powerful ones that dogs use on a regular basis and people misunderstand on a regular basis. They automatically assume that their dog is being an asshole, that the dog is being disobedient, the dog's not paying any attention to them, and how dare the dog just ignore them, when oftentimes the dog is ignoring because the human is being confrontational and is trying to create conflict where the dog is needing peace. How many times do we do that? Think about it. How many times do you go through your day looking to create conflict instead of peace? Think about that for a minute. I know personally, sometimes when I get in the car and I'm having to drive in traffic in Tennessee, in Nashville, my attitude is almost looking for conflict because I'm already expecting someone to piss me off on the road by cutting me off, not using their blinker, not using their blinker, not using their blinker. Or I don't know, how about getting into the passing lane and not passing? Look, if you drive in Tennessee, guys, please understand the law is that that left lane is for passing only. Not I'm going to pass the car in 10 minutes because it's half a mile up ahead, but passing, right? So whenever I get in the car, I'm already set my sights on conflict. And that's not healthy. And I know that, which is why I need to meditate before I drive. Listen to some really good songs or listen to something I can really sing to at the top of my lungs. So think about where you may be looking for conflict with your dog instead of peace. Right? When we automatically assume our dog is doing something out of a bad place, we're not going to do very well at understanding what they truly need. And I really want you guys to understand that dogs are trying to communicate to you. Your dog is trying to communicate to you all the time. All the time. If you're misreading what they're trying to tell you, you're going to lose trust. You're going to create frustration. You're going to possibly create some anxiety in your dog. And there's a big potential for bites to happen, especially if your dog has anxiety or fear. Fear aggression, where dogs are exhibiting aggressive behavior, where you're getting these snaps, these bites, typically come from fear and frustration, mostly fear. And that fear many times is the uncertainty of what the human is going to do. Is the human going to be respectful? Is the human going to be disrespectful? And so that fear and anxiety kicks in. And especially if you are a different person when you come home, depending on how your day at work went, that can create a lot of problems. So body language is truly about the movement, their particular body movements, right? Head turns, body turns, scratching when there's really probably not an itch there. Right, so there are different things that dogs will do to communicate to you, and ignoring is a huge one. However, that's not the one I'm going to be talking about today. I'm not actually even going to be talking about true calming signals. When I say calming signals, I'm meaning those signals that dogs will use to communicate that they need distance, they need space, they need calmness, they need really to be ignored themselves. And these come in different levels. They have passive levels that are things like the head turns, yawning, lip licking. And then it goes to a less passive where you're getting your growls. And then your ritualized aggression, which is not meaning the dog is aggressive. It's just aggressive behavior like your snap. So those are what I go into as calming signals. They're trying to calm the environment or calm an external potential conflict or even calm an internal conflict. Right? Dogs may lip lick or yawn to try to calm themselves down as much as calm an external conflict. But today I really want to talk about understanding how the tail wag can communicate a lot of emotion, especially when it changes speed, the height of it, and even the direction. So the tail is what I really want to get into today. Most of the time people tell me, ooh, you know, the dog snapped at my neighbor, but his tail was wagging. And then they're really confused. But tail wag doesn't mean happy dog always. Tail wag means arousal. Tail wag means emotion. And when we're talking tail wags, we do look at different aspects of it. We're looking at the speed, the direction, and where the placement is on the body compared to the natural placement. When you look at dogs, their tails are, they set in different ways based on the breed. Now, I have a Rottweiler. This is my fourth Roddy. My first Roddy with a tail. I've always just had the nubs. But Willow has a tail. And a Roddy's tail actually curls up above their back. So there's no nub there. It is literally just a curled tail that sits up high along the back. It's really kind of cute, and it's really grown on me. Then we look at something like a German Shepherd tail. That tail naturally lays in a down position with the last kind of quarter of it coming up into a curl, you could say. Doesn't curl all the way, but just kind of curls up. Now, if we're looking at real good curls and our curlicue tails, your pugs, they have little curlicue tails. Let's see. Let's talk about Weimaraners. Mini Weims, they have their tail links don't usually have a break in it. It's their short tails, and they don't have a break, which means they're pretty much all the time stiff, and we're going to get into that. When you're looking at, say, your Australian Shepherds, they have nubs with a lot of hair on them, so they can be a little bit challenging to read. So again, you can, I mean, I'm not going to go through all the breeds, but you can look at the dogs that you have and say, okay, where does my dog's tail sit naturally when the dog is relaxed and just chilling? And that's what you want to look at. When the dog is feeling calm and neutral, let's say neutral. When your dog is feeling neutral, where does the tail be, right? Where is it? And that's going to give you your starting point. We're going to talk about the different, I call them kind of tail wags, and I have named them specifically to help humans try to remember the different tail wags. Quickly, I'm going to go through the flag wag, which is like a flag in the wind. This is a relaxed dog. We have our, I call it stick in a hurricane, where the tail doesn't look like there is a break in it. Even if it is a tail that curls, there's no break in it. And it's going really, really fast. That means this dog is highly aroused and may have some problems being respectful and responsive. Stick in a low wind, which again, no break, but there's no wag or very slow wag. These are the ones we want to watch for. That's going to tell us the dog is feeling a little bit more nervous. Your helicopter or circle wag, where it literally kind of goes in a circle. That is the happiest wag in the world. It's so fun to watch that. It's just this beautiful circle wag. Almost like a propeller. I have a great video with one of our older dogs, Jake. He's passed now, but he had the best circle wag. And it was always so happy. He was just so happy with it. And that's a lot of fun to see those wags. And you, of course, you have your tucked tail. Or very low wag, where the tail is very low, almost between the legs, or tucked between the legs. And sometimes that doesn't move at all. It's just literally tucked. Now, the faster the wag goes, the more aroused the dog is. The slower the wag goes, the more cautious the dog is. The more to the right that the wag goes to, the more social the dog is wanting to be. The more to the left of the wag, the more cautious the dog is, possibly needing some space. So really one good way to kind of break this down to make it easy, you don't have to remember the circle wags, the flag wags. You don't necessarily have to remember those. What you want to think about is anything above the back, right? So if you think about neutral would be the spine and your dog's back. Right, so that's kind of that neutral space. But again, you have to think about your breed. Where does it naturally go? Anything above what is natural, which is typically above the spine, you're going to look at an arousal, and that arousal could be some happiness. It could be some caution, some. I don't want to say aggression, because aggression is really not, it's more of aggressive behavior, but a high arousal that could be coming from fear. Anticipation. The lower it is also an arousal, but typically that arousal is coming from a fear, from an uncertainty of what is about to transpire, not trusting, scared, frightful, right? We've all seen these, right? We've all seen this. And that's the thing is the tuck tail is easy to read. The unwagging tail is easy to read. But when you start getting into the tails that are maybe more to the right, more to the left, or I see often a dog who is wagging pretty hard and maybe it's at a more neutral place. So it's kind of an extension of the back and it's wagging back and forth. And so somebody's petting and then all of a sudden that tail stops or that tail goes down. It might still be wagging back and forth, but it goes down. We have to recognize that. I think a lot of dogs communicate using that tail more than we are typically thinking, right? Because many times when someone is petting a dog, the dog is keeping their eye on that person, especially if it's a stranger. So if they're not comfortable taking their eyes off of the person or moving their head enough to communicate that they need space, then they'll use their tail for that so that they can still keep their eye on that person. We just have to understand that a tail that is moving doesn't mean happy dog. And we need to start teaching our children this, that tails wagging does not mean an invitation to get into the dog's space, to pet the dog, to love on the dog, or to even look at the dog and talk to the dog. If you have a dog who doesn't have a tail or has a nub or is hard to read, then yes, we need to look at the rest of the body. Is it feeling more fluid? Is the dog looking stiff? Are the ears back? Are they forward? Does the dog have wrinkles in the forehead? Does the dog look neutral and soft in the forehead? Right. Does the dog look like you could bounce a quarter off their forehead because that's how tight the skin is? That dog's probably a little more nervous. So you can see there are a lot of pieces and parts of the dog that I could talk about. But you know how challenging it is to help you understand what that looks like on a podcast. It's very challenging, which is why we have the online course that you can get today for 85% off, so that you can see this in action. When you're looking at something like ears, you can also take in the neutral aspect to where they're just laying alongside, you know, in the medial aspect of your dog's skull. Or are they laying back towards your dog's shoulders? Are they leaning so forward that they're closer to your dog's snout? Right? So you got your front, neutral, and back. And typically anything that's front is going to be more of interest, but it also can be threatening. The dog could be leaning forward in a threatening posture with those ears forward. So it's not as simple as look at the ears, look at the mouth. Is the dog growling? Is the tail wagging or not? Is the dog facing me or is the dog facing away? There are so many components to how a dog is communicating that we've got to learn about those individual body movements, those individual pieces and parts of a dog. And you may find that reading the tail is easier for you than the ears. Or you may find that reading the ears is easier than reading the tail because your dog has a nub. Now, obviously, you know, some of these dogs with nubs, you can see the whole body wagging. And if you're seeing the butt wagging separately from the head, right? Head goes to the left, butt's going to the right. That dog is pretty fluid. That dog is relaxed. If you're seeing that the butt is not moving and the head's not moving, that dog is tense. If your dog's head's not moving and the butt's moving, we need to look at the tail. What's happening there? All right, if we're still confused, okay, well, let's look at the dog's head then. If the dog's facing me, Then let's look and see what the tail's doing. What are the eyes looking like? Are they big? Do they look hard? Do they look soft? Are the pupils dilated? Are they retracted? Is the dog, open mouth? Is the dog have its lips pulled back in a stressful look? Is the dog looking away? Is the dog sniffing the ground as you're trying to talk to them? And there's really nothing there that you can see. Everything a dog does is on purpose. Every movement, every sound, every look, every blink. There's a purpose there. It's our job to learn how to read it, respect it, and respond to it. Most people don't read it, don't respect it, therefore their response is typically disrespectful and inappropriate. If you're approaching your dog, your dog's laying on the couch, maybe they've had a great day, they've played, they've been active, and now they're laying on the couch trying to rest. And you walk over and you plop down next to them and you start petting on them. Do they acknowledge that you're there? Do they ignore you? Do they start yawning? Do they start licking their lips quickly? All that means different things. If you're not sure how your dog is feeling, sit down, pet the dog for 2 to 3 seconds, and then stop and allow your dog to respond. If your dog doesn't ask you for more petting and he's ignoring you, then he probably doesn't want any more petting and he wants to be left alone. You would think he would just get up and move to his room or go to his quiet place, but you know what? If he's used to sleeping on the couch or relaxing on the couch, then he should have that right to do so. Just because he's there doesn't give you an open invitation to come over and irritate him. How many times have you been sitting on the couch trying to relax, read a book, watch TV, and your dog comes up and starts throwing a toy in your lap or pawing at you? And then you, all of a sudden, you want them to be respectful of your space, but yet you're having a challenge respecting theirs. It's a give and take. We have to learn how to be respectful to our dogs, but we can't be respectful to our dogs if we don't know what they're trying to tell us. And this is why I preach over and over and over and over again about you guys learning how to communicate with your dog by learning how they communicate. You know, we expect them to respond to our language. So we need to do the same and respect their language and learn about their language. What are a few things that you can use for your dog as far as dog language? Well, ignoring is super powerful. Dogs use it all the time. Humans suck at it. Okay. Ignoring means we don't look, we don't talk, we don't touch during the behavior that we don't want. If my dog's jumping on me and I don't want it, I'm going to ignore him. I don't have to stand there and ignore him. I can literally just keep walking. I can walk out of the room. I can go to another room. I can go with a door between me because I just know many of you just said, well, Nikki, my dog jumps on me. If I turn my back, they just jump on my back. Don't turn your back. Cross your arms and stand there, or I don't know, go put a door between you. Guys, we're humans. We're supposed to be the smarter species. Problem solve a little bit. Ignoring works. It works because dogs use it. Ignoring works because dogs understand it. And it is the foundation of every level one calming signal. Every calming signal. Ignoring is the foundation of it. And if you need to learn how to ignore, go watch your dog when you're trying to call them in from outside and you're doing it in a not nice way because you're running late and your shoe broke and you couldn't find your car keys and now you're just pissed off and you're yelling at your dog to come in the house and he's ignoring you because you're being confrontational, and that is a potential for conflict. And because he wants to survive his life and he has this innate ability for survival, He's going to use his calming signal, which is going to be ignoring you, sniffing the ground as if something's there, or he's going to choose that's a good time to stop and pee or drink water because you're being confrontational. So ignoring to me is one of the probably the most common one I use when working with dogs, whether they're barking at me and I don't want them barking at me. I just ignore them, turn my head, walk away, turn my body, do something else. And then when they follow it up with something I prefer, I don't know, quiet for 3 seconds, then I acknowledge that behavior. And I'm teaching them what it is that's going to get my attention. Barking's not it. Barking may work for other dogs, but it's not going to work for me. At least when they're barking at me to get something. Now, I can take that barking at me as information that my dog needs something, and I can wait till they're quiet and then ask them what it is they need. That's a really good way to still help your dog, but at the same time, help them learn that there's a way to get my attention and there's a way not to get my attention. It's like teaching a kid. If the kid's just yelling, mom, 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 while, you know, the mom's trying to talk to another adult, we need to teach the kid that's not going to work. Now with the kid, you can say, son, if you'll wait a second, let me finish talking. And when you need me, if you need me in the moment, you can say, excuse me. Right? We teach a kid. This is how you get my attention. All right, if we scream at the kid to shut up, we're only teaching the kid to be afraid to come to us when they need something. So ignoring is super powerful. You're going to have to get good at it. I mean, it is really one of the most powerful ones. You can also turn your head away, turn your body away. If your dog is afraid of thunderstorms, loud noises, fireworks, you can sit with them, comfort them, and yawn with them. Yawning is absolutely one of the best ways to help a stressed dog relax. If you work with dogs, yawning is great. I don't like it because it makes me sleepy, but it is very handy. If you're working with a dog at a vet clinic, when you walk in that door, walk in sideways using a curve, keeping your body to the side, you can yawn. Ignore the dog, let the dog approach you. And then if you are going to pet for a couple of seconds and then stop and allow the dog to make a decision. If they want to continue moving forward in this potential relationship with you, or if they're just not sure about you and they're not sure if they can trust you, and then they're going to move away. But here's the kicker. If they don't trust you in the beginning and they come up and you pet them for a second, but then they move away, if you ignore them when they move away and you give signals back to be non-confrontational, then they're going to sit back and say, wow, okay, that person respected me when I did that. So maybe then if I do decide to have any type of interaction with them, they'll respect me if I need a break. So right then, by respecting that, you're building trust. And you're building a trust with a dog you may not know. Especially if you're working in the shelter, working at a vet clinic, boarding facility, whatever. And if you're working in a daycare, if no one has trained you about body language and you work at a daycare, I'm not sure what you're doing. Because if you don't understand dog language, it's going to be very challenging to keep dogs safe and to prevent dogs from developing bad habits and bad behavior around other dogs. Dog communication, number one, whether you own pets, work with pets, or are going to be around pets on a daily basis or even once a week. Learning how to read them, respect them, and respond to them is important. And again, it's hard to explain it on a podcast. So go and get the course for 85% off. Guys, there are only 100 coupons available. And I can tell you, I put this out in the newsletter last week. There are no longer 100 coupons available. So you need to go and grab them before they are gone. Because I really want you guys to understand and help your dogs feel safe and feel comfortable and confident that they can communicate with you. You will change a dog's world, especially if you are working with rescue dogs or dogs that are suffering from trauma or suffering from some type of anxiety disorder. You will make the biggest difference in their life by understanding their communication skills, their calming signals. And when you're able to understand that, you're able to communicate back to them, creating trust. And that is so important. It's so important. You can't have a relationship with a dog without building that trust. And you can't build trust without communication. And if you think about every relationship, communication is number one. Communication, consistency. Communication and consistency. I need that so desperately in my life on a daily basis. Communication and consistency. That's my soapbox today. If you've not signed up for the newsletter, you better get to it because they get coupon codes that sometimes you guys don't get. So sign up for the newsletter. Go make sure you're subscribing on our YouTube channel. We have a new video out today on luring, but also have a video out that I published today with Willow meeting the Halloween decorations in the living room for the very first time because this is her very first Halloween, and it's so exciting. She did really well with it, but I videoed it to show you guys how we use the Mr. Rogers hack to help her get comfortable with those decorations. All right. I hope you guys get something out of this today. I hope you are encouraged to go and learn about dog communication. Please, guys, I'm telling you, I can't preach it enough. And I've made it so affordable for at least 100 of you. So if you are working in a professional setting and you would like for your staff to have this knowledge and have the communication course, and so you would like to get it for a bulk audience, reach out to me at info@dogspeak101.com and I can put together a package for you so that you're not having to buy a ticket for everyone. I can just give you a one-time fee to have about 3 to 6 months access so that if you have new staff coming in, they have access to it as well. So you can just reach out to me for that. All right, guys, be sure you're following us on all the social media channels. Please rate and review wherever you get this podcast. It really does help, and I appreciate it. It helps us to find new listeners and hopefully maybe find some sponsorships for us so that we continue to bring this podcast to you and bring all the information that you need in order to create a beautiful, mutually respectful relationship with your dog. Hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your week.